This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Jazakallah. All praise belongs to Allah, the eternally merciful, creator, nourisher, and sustainer of the universe, the especially merciful Lord of the worlds, master of the day of judgment, to whom is our ultimate return. Our purest and choicest salams, durood, and salutations to our spiritual master, the best of Allah's creation, the most distinguished of all the prophets, the most eloquent in speech, the most noble in character, the perfect example for all of mankind, and a mercy to all of humanity, our beloved Nabi Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I trust and pray, inshallah, you're all enjoying the fruits of this blessed month of Ramadan. May Allah accept all of our du'as and ibadah during this holy month, inshallah. Can I please ask that you kindly keep mics muted so as to avoid any disturbances, while cameras may be kept on at your own discretion, inshallah. The recordings of the session will be emailed after the session or in the next few days to all the delegates that are on the session, including those that have registered but are not
started.
Can I ask you to please mute so as to reduce disturbance? We will try and address some of the many questions that you posted as you registered for this event. And we'll also feel free to post any comments or questions you have in the chat. We'll try and pick that up as well. The format of today's session, Sister Nasira, if I can ask you to mute, please. The proposed format. Sorry, there's some disturbance coming. I think if you could just mute, that will be appreciated. So the proposed format for this afternoon session will be as follows. Our guest will speak for about 20 or 30 minutes, and we will use the remainder of the 1 hour allocated for Q&A and discussion, inshallah. My name is Zafar Ahmed. I'm the principal of Al-Fala College in Durban in South Africa, and I'm also an executive member of the Global Association of Islamic Schools, GAIS, as we are known for short, envisages a world where Islamic schools positively impact their communities by educating students to embody ihsan, moral, spiritual, and intellectual excellence, inshallah. It is our mission to bring Islamic schools together to build global solidarity and promote a culture of excellence. We hope to provide thought leadership, networking opportunities, and research-based standards for a holistic and relevant education, inshallah. This particular event, the Scholar Series, is an initiative of the GAIS, where we invite a scholar to post a question or a provocation each Thursday on the GAIS website, on the WhatsApp group, to stimulate thought and discussion. These weekly discussions culminate in a 1 hour webinar each month with the scholar selected for the month. So it gives me great pleasure to welcome you all to the second of our webinars in this series with our special guest, Brother Idris, who will address us on the topic, The Teacher, a Real Change of Agent, a Real Agent of Change. A quick introduction to our guest, Idris Kamisa. Dear brother is an international consultant in education and human development. He began his career as a teacher of English and has been a
head teacher of English
and has three different schools.
Been a head teacher at three different schools.
He has conducted numerous workshops in over 30 countries. His topics range from leadership, youth development, from information to transformation, creativity in schools, dynamics of marriage, parenting in the 21st century, amongst many, many other relevant topics. He was one of the founding members of the Association of Muslim Schools in South Africa and also an advisor to IBER, the International Board of Educational Research and Resources. He is the co-author of many IBER manuals also co-authored The Art of Public Speaking from an Islamic Perspective, Embrace the Joys of Public Speaking, and Premarital Conversations and Beyond. He is also part of the Public Speaking Academy. He's a regular guest on national and community TV and radio stations. One of his unique features is his ability to respond to the diverse needs of the community. He not only identifies the challenges, but is able to provide many workable solutions. All in all, Idris, my dear brother, is a dynamic individual with diverse talents and a unique ability to connect and wow his audiences. I have no doubt that he will do the same today, inshallah. Gives me great pleasure to hand you over to our guest, Brother Idris Kamisa.
Kamisa, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It is really my pleasure to address all of you today. And my presentation today can be life-changing. It all depends on how receptive you are. And that's an important thing, you see, about being receptive. Great teachers, I believe, are born. Great teachers are receptive to new ideas. So we cannot thank Allah enough for the fact that we are in this teaching profession, the profession of prophets. And of course, our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, I've come here as a teacher. Now let's go to the very beginning. Why, for example, did I choose this topic? A teacher, a real agent of change. Because in my travels throughout the world, going to schools, talking to teachers, I find many educators themselves are somewhat frustrated. They tend to blame the institutional politics, they'll blame the experiential world of children, they blame the parents, and they say there's nothing much we can do. And you know, a true educator is an individual who knows through his inspiration, he'll be able to really transform young minds and hearts. But it takes time, it takes discipline, it takes really taqwa. It's about a commitment. But when we talk about change, what change am I talking about? What do you envision in the end? What kind of individual you like to see leave the school? I like to believe in our hearts of hearts. Many of us who are true educators would like to see our young boys and girls leave as potential leaders, who go out there and say, you know what, I want to make a difference. I want to leave a legacy. I want to be a person of significance and not narrowly a person of success who's only concerned about his own self-enrichment and also concerned about his own, inverted commas, reputation, as it were, in the community. So a question I ask everyone, and I want to ask you also, and I'd like you to respond in your own mind. The bottom line is, why are you teaching? Why are you teaching? And there can be as many answers as there are individuals. And I came across some very profound answers from individuals in some parts of the world. At the same time, I came across some very mundane reasons as to why someone is teaching. Some individuals say, I teach because I want to prepare my kids for an examination. But the others will say, I teach because I believe I can not only leave a legacy, but more importantly, I believe that every child I teach can impact on generations to come. For example, if I have 25 learners, I can impact the lives of 25 generations. So it's very, very important for us as educators to understand the context in which we are teaching. We are teaching at a time when the ummah is bleeding. We are teaching at a time when our homes have become dysfunctional. We are teaching at a time when our youth are pining for real leadership. We are teaching at a time in which individuals themselves have forgotten what their purpose is. They've forgotten why they are born. They've forgotten what they need to do. And we are teaching at a time, sadly, at a time when our young boys and girls have lost faith in their own faith. And therefore, as a true educator, your responsibility is to go beyond the confines of cognitive development, beyond the narrow confines of academic achievement. You need to provide true holistic education. And it must be, inshallah, through your example, through your attitude, through your commitment, that our children are inspired to do great things, are inspired to really make a difference. Now, this is a point, you see. The point is this, that, and I want to say this with respect to everyone, a true teacher, a true educator, does not believe that he's walking the extra proverbial mile. What he's doing is something that he believes is part of his responsibility. It is so, so important for us to understand the gravitas, the enormity of what we do and why we do it. And please believe me, sometimes in our perhaps exuberance, sometimes we believe after we have given one lecture, as it were, that you'd expect transformation tomorrow. It doesn't happen like that. So I want each one of you to know that each one of us has a capacity to transform the hearts and minds of these young people. But it cannot happen just like that. So let us explore, for example, what should be some critical attributes. I was writing these attributes down, and by no means I'm saying it is exhaustive. It is what I believe in. And I like to believe you'd also perhaps have a unique set of attributes that you think that are important. And in fact, when I did a survey with the students, asking them, what do you think are the five most important attributes of teachers? You know what they said to me? They said the first thing they said to me, a teacher must be fair. The second thing they said, he must be just. The third issue they said, he must have a sense of humor. The fourth thing that they said, the teacher must be relevant. And the last thing they said, which I believe is critical, a teacher needs to be creative. So these are important. Perhaps your learners might say something different. But this engagement is important, you see. Sometimes you may have a particular self-perception regarding yourself, a sage on the stage, a gift to the learners, yet the learners might find you tedious, boring, and irrelevant. Perhaps they cut themselves off. And you need to ask them this question, the simple question. What would you like me to do different? Give me feedback about the way I teach. And great teachers are those individuals who invite a feedback, who invite someone to critique them so they can become better. There's a story that I've heard. Maybe it's on folklore, but I think it's very instructive. Apparently, there was this Chinese or Japanese emperor who summoned the best teacher in the land to teach his son. So this teacher said to his friend, you know what? How can I teach his son? His son is so incorrigible. Look at what his friend said. He said, well, if you want to teach his son, then you must become a better teacher. So it is about us always trying to improve. And what saddens me, I'm sad to say, many educators do not read. Many educators have not broadened their minds over and above what they might have learned at the university. So I want to just share with you attributes that I believe to be important, not necessarily in a particular order, right? The first attribute that I've got, that a teacher must be creative. Now, people ask this question, where is the time for creativity in the class? I say it's precisely when you don't have the time, you need to unleash your creative juices. And in fact, our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and it is my intention to write a book, Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the teacher of creativity. And there are so many examples in the seerah to show his creativity. The second point that I've got is the teacher must be kind. I was reading the other day, our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam never chided or scolded any child. I'm not saying we must become overly indulgent. And when you are kind, what happens? Children become more responsive. They begin to engage you. The third thing, because of the constraints of time, I'm not going to discuss each in detail. You've got to have a sense of humor. You must have a sense of humor, right? You know, there's a huge difference, and I want to say this, between captive audience and a captured audience. Sometimes you go past some classrooms, the kids are sitting there, and it reminds me of Charles Dickens' book, Hard Times, when you are told, I want you to give them nothing but facts, nothing by facts. And these children are sitting as passive receptacles of knowledge. No engagement, no participation, no cerebral activity. So I think it's very, very important, very, very critical that our children, for example, are participating, they are engaging, and that's very, very important, right? So this thing about humor is also critical. The other thing that I believe is important, that the teacher must be dynamic. You have to be dynamic. In fact, you know, studies have shown that the attention span of children, some people say it's 8 seconds, 5 minutes, and 2 minutes. So what do you need to do? You cannot come there and be predictable. I believe a true educator is unpredictable, but he is reliable, unpredictable. And therefore, I call good teachers as edutainers. Good teachers are individuals who understand the mindset. Good teachers are those individuals who are able to take the place of the students and say, how would I like to receive the knowledge? The next thing I believe, if you want to be an agent of change, you've got to build trust in the children. Why should they trust you? Why? What is it about you? Why should they trust you? Why should they open their hearts out to you? In fact, you know, I used to do this, and this is very, very personal, but something I want to share with each one of you. In fact, when one of my ex-students committed suicide, I started making a dua, right? Every morning when I walk into every classroom. This happened when I was at the government school. And I say, Ya Allah, show me the unhappy child. Show me the unhappy child. What's the use of you teaching all these abstract concepts and ideas, yet a child is crying out for help, crying out for love, crying out for affirmation, affection, attention? That's what we need to do. And I believe when you show a profound love for a child, you love them not only for the mind, you love them because you want to develop them holistically. Please believe me, I've seen it, and I'm sure many of you I've seen it, you'll begin to inspire confidence. The other thing that is important is this, that we need to understand the unique personalities of each child. We come in often in a lecture method, right? And a transmission mode, as it were. And we forget that every child is different. Our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you know, when he used to speak to the Sahaba, the advice he gave each one was so different because he knew what was in the mind of the person. He understood that particular personality. And when children themselves, young people know that this teacher of mine understands me, He is not a sage on the stage, but a guide on the side. He will not reprimand and humiliate me in front of my peers. He'll call me to the side. He'll have a private chat with me. And in that way, I'll build up trust. And you're saying to the person, you know what? You have the capacity for greatness. And I'm here to support you. Let me take you by the hand. And also you find that a teacher who is an agent of change, he's a person that tries to become an authority on his subject. And not only an authority on the subject, he's also knowledgeable. He seems to understand the world around him and therefore is able to embrace it. When he teaches them about life and living. That's what it's all about, life and living. We do not want children to leave our institutions where we bludgeon them with information. They say true information, if it is practiced, it becomes knowledge. The other important thing that is also critical is the fact that educators themselves are people with impeccable character. They are individuals who are always have their minds open, who also have, and this is a very critical thing, have a high EQ, emotional intelligence. That is, to me, a very, very important aspect, to have high emotional intelligence. And I'm sure many of you, when you reflect on your own teaching, and those of us have been teaching for a long time, you might meet some of your ex-students. You meet them years later, and they share with you a story that you shared with them at school. At that time, the story did not have much relevance, and perhaps they were inattentive, and suddenly now it resonates. And I know, for example, that a true teacher, a true educator, does not only prepare children for life outside the school and life beyond, he prepares them for life within the school. And children mimic adult behavior. You can either liberate the mind of learners or you could sabotage them. The choice is yours. And remember this, I say this, and I'm sure many of you cannot thank Allah enough for what? Thank Allah enough for the fact that you are in this profession. That you cannot thank Allah enough that you can able to develop in them those noble qualities that they become true ambassadors for the deen of Islam. And there are some popular sayings that I like to share with people, right? And it's very, very important, very, very important for us to acknowledge this, right? I came across this and I said, wow. Someone said, if you do not learn today, you cannot teach tomorrow. How powerful is that? If you do not learn today, you cannot teach tomorrow. And as a teacher, you learn so much. There's so much for you to learn. And the other one is, if you teach the way you've been taught, you rob your children of tomorrow. And this is very critical, my beloved brothers and sisters. Firstly, we cannot thank Allah enough that we are in this profession. We cannot thank Allah enough that inshallah, the day we die, when our learners learn of our passing away, perhaps they'll shed a tear, perhaps they'll lift up their hand and say, Ya Allah, forgive Mu'allima, forgive Mu'allim, forgive my Mudi, forgive them. Because it was through them I got to know you. It was through them I got to know Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It was through them I learned how to live with other people. It was through them I've learned how to show love and respect to my parents. It was through them I was able to unleash my full potential. And this is very, very important. And the day we are able to extricate ourselves from the narrow, I use the word advisedly, narrow confines of pure academic excellence, that's the day we're going to liberate our children. Because true success, as I said at the beginning, and academic success on its own is not a precursor for real success. Because as I always say, man has learned to fly like a bird in the sky, swim like a fish in the sea, but he cannot walk like a human being on this earth. And I want to end up my presentation because I would rather take questions. There are two things I want to mention. In my first year of teaching, and there's a difference between a teacher that is certified and the teacher is qualified. Often many qualified teachers may not have certification. The others will have certificates that fill the walls of the school, yet the heart is not in the right place. And that's an important thing. So there are two things. One, from my experience as a teacher, there are many, and the other is my experience as a student. I remember when I was teaching in my first year, I was teaching the book David Copperfield. I was a teacher of English. And it was in my first month, as it were, and I was getting a bit frustrated because of the untidy work of one of my students. And Allah put it in my heart, and I said to him, my boy, I'd like to meet you during the break time. And he was nervous about it, and I was I had some trepidations. I had no idea how this whole thing is going to pan out. So what did I do? I called him there, and I said to him, tell me about your home, your background. From the time we started speaking, tears began to well. He said to me that I leave from home 5 in the morning. I get a lift in a truck. I come to school. I get home when it's dark. We have no lights at home. I do my homework under the street lamp. I immediately held his hand. I said to him, please forgive me. I did not know this. But that moment built up a rapport, a trust. From that day, although his circumstances did not change, but he changed towards his work. He was more forthcoming. He was more productive. He was more participatory. And that I learned was a very, very important lesson, because every student comes to school with three things, with an IQ, with a baggage of values, and an attitude. But we only focus on his IQ. We do not focus on his values. We do not focus on his attitude. What is his attitude? We are so preoccupied in drumming down, as it were, the curriculum, the syllabus, that we forget what we're all about. And the last two things I want to mention before I mention the other incidents. You know what? For me, true education and schooling is when we respond to the needs and fears of our learners, when you are able to workshop those fears and needs in a particular way. And in terms of when I mentioned also the whole issue of creativity, it's a time for another day, inshallah. But I want to share about a teacher that was my inspiration. I know Sheikh, my beloved brother, Akram Khan Chima, knows him very well. And I'm sitting at Zafar's place, and I'll share that. I was a naughty boy at school. I was a naughty, naughty boy, right? And I was like a reluctant clown at school. I was an appeaser. Whenever a magician came, they wanted a volunteer. They said, come here, I used to go. But I was a shy clown. No one knew that. Then when I was in the age of 14 or so, I had a teacher of English, and he used to read my essays and the mistakes. And this class used to laugh, and I used to laugh too. So funny, sir, but I used to get so mad. I could not say anything. Neither could I complain to my dad, because my dad told the teachers, the flesh is yours, the bones are mine, right? So anyway, I used to sometimes cry myself to sleep. The next year, I had another teacher, Ismail Katrada, and we were doing this poem, God's Grandeur. And so next to me, there was a curvaceous damsel. So I said, yes, also God's grandeur. So I was pinching her cheeks and, you know, all of those things, checking her vital signs and whatnot. So the teacher noticed me. He said to me, Idris, you're a naughty boy. I said, no, I'm not a naughty boy. He says, well, I'm not leaving the class until you give me your interpretation of the last two lines of the poem. And I can remember his words almost verbatim. Remember, if you do not give me your interpretation, I will give you the cold shoulder. Do you want the cold shoulder from me? I said, no, please, no, please. So I gave an answer to get him off my back. And he said to me, Idri, such a brilliant interpretation. Why don't you give yourself a chance? And, you know, that was a wow moment. He went next door. He told the class, Idris Kamisa gave me an interpretation. So beautiful. And that was a wow moment. From that day onwards, I became an avid reader. I took my life seriously. Today, I have a library of over 2,500 books. And 8 years later, because of that wow moment, and our kids need to have a wow moment. We need to give them hope. We must give them hope that I became the chairman of the English Society of South Africa. There's so much to share with you. And I'm sure you too have so much to share. And I want to end it all by saying to my beloved brothers and sisters, let us reflect on who we are. Let us reflect on the fact that we can be agents of change. Let us spend time with them. Let us have our lunches with them. Let us get to know them, because sadly, in many cases, they have no role models at home. The role models they find outside are those individuals that are antithetical to Islam, atheists, agnostics, or whatever, those who not love the deen of Islam. So I think it's very, very important to create the classroom, to make it a place of dynamism. The day you are not there, the day you're not there, they do miss you. And it reminds me, and if I get a time, we'll talk about it. Zafar, I'll rather take some questions, inshallah.
Jazakallah, thank you very much, Brother Idris, for that very inspiring talk, straight from the heart. And especially those moments of your personal journey, both as a student, as a teacher. Thank you very much for sharing all of that with us. Thank you very much, good people. If you wish to pose a question directly, I invite you to raise your hand and maybe just come on mute and you can pose a question to Idris. While you're thinking about it, maybe I'd like to pose a question to Idris from the questions that were posted on registration. Idris, amongst the many questions we received, I'm a qualified teacher, but how do I also become a mentor to my students?
Okay, it's a very important question. The English definition of teacher is a person that imparts knowledge to children, might teach them some competence, or he might teach them a virtue. But when you look at the word murabbi, murabbi is far more deeper. It's about a person that encourages, inspires, builds up confidence in the children. So to become a mentor, you must give children an opportunity to share what goes on in their life, to share with you the pain, to share with you the things that you need to do to assist. And this is very important. And where you, for example, you can become a mentor when you make your lessons relevant. You know, for example, when I used to teach in a government school, I used to always precede my lesson with talking about 5 minutes of life. And often the talks about my life dealt with the challenges young people are going through. So it's about building up the relationship. Inshallah, you'll find a difference.
Question has been posted here. How do you handle children who will not work or children who are disruptive in class?
You see, this is a important thing. Now, children behave in the way they behave for a number of reasons. You know, they speak about ABC of discipline. You must speak about the antecedent. What is it that led them to become disruptive? Perhaps your teaching style, perhaps it is boring, perhaps they do not feel that you're unleashing the potential. So a good way to deal with this is to get to know that learner outside the classroom. Take a moment, engage with him, build up that confidence, and let him know that he has a future ahead of him. Each particular person is unique. And I found that when you engage them on a personal level, when you, as a teacher, are concerned about holistic learning, you always, always get the desired results.
JazakAllah, thank you very much, Idris. You know, there's this question of getting feedback from students, either by way of surveys or engaging with them, as you suggested earlier. But how do you address the fears of teachers when children open up to them and tell them about their weaknesses?
You see, this is an important thing. Now, when teachers have those fears, it's quite
their own self-esteem.
They have issues about their own self-esteem. So it's very, very important as a school to develop the self-esteem of a teacher. Now, self-esteem does not mean that you are perfect. Self-esteem means that, you know, you feel good about who you are. You understand that you have areas of concern and you have strengths and you have humility. And it is precisely that feedback that makes a big difference. I remember my best pupil in English. We had the highest for English in the country many years ago. When I asked for feedback, I said, why did I do that? He said he finds my lessons boring. He said that, right? Because I was so concerned about the students. His mind was so brilliant. So then I realized I had to do something different. So what did I do? I began to ask him to go around the class, have students with the correction. I used to give him books, Jones and other, to read and all of that. And if I did not do that, you know, it would have really agitated him. And it's important because remember something, when you're doing things to Allah, you invite feedback. You're doing things for yourself and your ego, you'll never invite feedback. And that's very, very important.
JazakAllah. Thank you very much, Idris, for that. There's a question that was posted on the chat, on the Google form. Please talk about the relationship between teacher and community, teacher and school leadership,
nurturing students.
Often, at least in America,
there is an adversarial relationship.
The teacher is not seen as a trusted professional.
Often talked down to.
On the other hand,
how can teachers become supported to approach their work as professionals
and experts
constantly reflecting and improving their practice?
Yeah, I require a lecture for that, but I'll give you some. I'll give you a response, right? You got to understand. I came across this, and for me, it really resonated. When it stated, for example, that we are in no control of what goes on outside the school, but we have complete control of what goes on in school. I remember once when I was a head teacher of a school, I said to my teachers, imagine these kids do not have parents. Imagine you're the only source of inspiration. And that gave them another dimension. And I think it's important. You see, you got to have self-belief. No one can diminish you without your permission. It is such a, to me, teaching is the best profession. We cannot thank Allah. You got an opportunity of opening the hearts and minds. The same learners that are reluctant today, I promise you tomorrow, they would elevate. Not that you want to be elevated. I remember my friend Safa Zalzur, America. I know our beloved sister Pia knows him, and he said, you know, his dua is Allah tells one of his students, Jannah for you. Inshallah, she'll say, Ya Allah, I want to only go to Jannah with my mudir, my mawlima, my mawlima. This is what we need to do. If you penetrate the hearts of the learners, when you show a deep concern, a sincere, authentic concern, when you are genuine, when you listen to them really with an open heart, without, you know, being prejudging or being judgmental, I promise you, these kids do anything. I've seen classes, not only the classes that I was involved in. In fact, in some schools, some teachers were surprised. They say, Idris, you laugh and joke so much, yet in your classroom, participatory, respectful. I said, you know why? because they know I love them. Because one of the things that I used to do before I went to any school or on the first day of my school teaching day, I'll say to my students, please write a letter to me. Tell me about your family if you want. Tell me about the challenge in your subject. You'd be surprised how many of them open their hearts out to you. So I think you need to have self-belief. Secondly, you are the profession of the Prophet Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was a teacher. In fact, you know, one of my things, you know, I say, you know, what people ask, what do I miss? I say, man, I was a captain in the classroom, man. You know, jumping on the desk, chairs, you know, coming through the window, you know, making them happy. They're all in pain. And once you take out the happiness out of them, they are, you know, they receive the knowledge, open hearts, they ask questions, you know, and this is very, very important.
Jazakallah, thank you. Sister Sufia has her hand up. If you can unmute Sister Sufia.
Assalamualaikum. Thank you so much, Brother Idris. It's such a pleasure to hear from you and your pearls of wisdom that you're sharing with us. As the Assistant Executive Director, I have the opportunity to visit many, many schools here in the United States and then in Canada, hopefully also overseas. One of the questions the administrators will ask or that they're so concerned about is, you know, something you touched upon, which is that there's, you know, there's qualification and there's certification. And they're so caught up, some of them, the administrators and the board members, in finding qualified teachers. But to them, it means certification. And I try to tell them that first of all, as a private school here in the US, you don't necessarily, and I know it differs sometimes state to state, you don't necessarily have to hire teachers with a specific certification. And then they'll say, well, how do I know, what advice would you give in the interview process to identify that this teacher may not have the certification, may not have that academic degree or that years of experience I'm looking for, but they've got the heart for it. And then we can take that and we can develop and train and provide resources and support for them for what they might be lacking in terms of that content knowledge certification. What would you tell administrators to look for? What kind of qualification, maybe what kinds of questions to ask to find that teacher?
Yes. I think what you're saying is so true. No, I think what you're saying sometimes is so true, because sometimes what happens is that when people have all the certificates, what it's a, like a blind spot. You make assumptions that this person is going to be dynamic. So you ask many, many questions. For example, are you receptive to new knowledge? Number one. Secondly, are you prepared to work as a team? You need to find out about how they would handle certain situations. Of course, they need to have a knowledge. And also what is very important is, are they prepared to participate in co-curricular and extracurricular activities? And through the interview process, and of course, I'm sure they would have some kind of pass, as it were, you can identify them, you know, because sometimes some people are so well prepared for an interview, but in the reality, it hits the ground. There are people that you say, my gosh, how did I make this mistake? So I think in the end, it's the heart. Does a person love learners? Does he love excellence? Does he love to pursue knowledge? And that is very, very important for me.
Jazakallah, thank you, Idris. Certainly, we need to relook at how we interview and select teachers on our staff. We need a new paradigm and a change. There are two questions that are related.
Maybe I'll just ask them together, and you can decide how to deal with them.
One question is, what should we do when parents are asking us to move into their roles? And a related question, how can we as facilitators guide parents to cooperate with us in these challenging times?
I remember, you know, there is a famous saying that teachers are in loco parentis. Now, the assumption is that at home, parents are playing the role. So what I found that is quite useful is that whilst you are training, educating, inspiring the learners, you should also have a concurrent program for parents to attend. Because today's parents, many of them, they mean well, but they have little or no idea how to create a particular ethos at home. They have no idea how to nurture the children. Sometimes they're undermining what's going on at school. And one of the ironies when people ask me, Idris, why is it there are so many Muslim schools sprouting throughout the world? I said the irony is that the purpose of schooling was supposed to reinforce the values of the home. Now we are asking the home to reinforce the values of the school. And this is the, these are the challenges you're going to have. And I can assure you that when you are creative, when you are engaging, it makes a huge difference. When you say to yourself that you're going to create the, such a compelling environment, so much of dynamism, that these children, inshallah, would also become the agents of change in their own home.
I think, you know, it's very important. There are three very important players, the teacher, the child, and the parent. And I think each one has a role to play in the nurturing of the child. So there's a question here related to children and their part and role.
There's a question here related to children and their part and role.
The polarized youth have their mindset, perspectives, or viewpoints. How to bring them to the point that they accept the message willingly and become themselves the agents of change?
Yeah. Yeah. You see, therefore that question assumes that you as an educator understands the experiential world of children. You understand what is happening in social media. You understand the influences around them. And it's important that you have a discussion about it. It's an important thing for them to participate. And a critical way is to do what I call role playing. And therefore, it's important. I mean, imagine when you go to the class and this teacher is somewhat naive, is ill-equipped, he does not know what's going on in the world of children, and you find that the kids are living in a world of fantasy. And there is no connection, there's a disconnect, as it were. And I think this is, therefore, it's important to win the hearts of your learners and make, this is a point, you see, the point, I always mention this. I say Islam is a beautiful deen. We need to present our Islam in a beautiful way for our beautiful, innocent children in a world that is going ugly. It's about how we present the Islam to them. Are we making, I'm not saying you're going to, we need to reform Islam. No, I'm not saying that. Islam is relevant for all times. It's about how you present it. They look at your conduct. And you know what? They must look at you and say, you know what? When I grow up, I want to be like that teacher. I want to be like Mr. Zafar, Idris Kamisa, Safiya, Zakia, Seema, Akram Khan, Chima, whoever. I want to be like them. You know why? Because they are articulate, they're confident, they're avid readers. They seem to know so much about what's going on in this world. You cannot go there and only understand the narrow limits of your subject. A curriculum that is often so static when the world around is changing so fast. I remember Sheikh Yaver Beg once mentioned, he came across this powerful quotation. Look at how powerful this is. If you miss a beat, you miss a whole generation. Can you imagine how vigilant we need to be today? The world is changing so radically, right? And if we have not recognized that, if we have gone back to our classrooms, still being the same person after the COVID, then I think, my friend, you are going to become irrelevant, right? So I think it's very, very important for us to understand that.
Someone says, How can teachers develop the fantastic communication skills and usually significant sense of humor you have in abundance?
Alhamdulillah. You know what? Really, man. I get so emotional about it, today, many of our kids come from joyless homes. They come from homes where there's so much of sadness. Many of them, if you ask them, when last did you hug your father and your mother? They can't remember. So it's important. They say laughter lubricates life, man. It makes them happy, man. And this is important. And alhamdulillah, I my mom, my dad, and my friends, and my teachers, they all contributed to this. And you know what? When you are in this profession, when your heart is there, you know, you feel, I belong here. This is me. I belong here. I belong here. And you know what? When you're not at school for one day, your children will miss you. They miss the dynamism, the smile, the excitement, the humor. And this is important. This thing about acting professorial, you know, putting on, being pedantic, you know, and all of that is not going to work, my friend, because the only person you're going to impress is yourself. You know, it's important that you engage with them. And inshallah, it's something you need to develop. And I am a parasite on new knowledge. I used to visit my teachers' classes, learning from them. You know, when I was their colleague, I would, if you tell me about a book, I'll buy it right now. I want to learn all the time. Even if I learn one thing, it is enough for me to take a quantum leap.
Jazakallah, Idris. One more question posted here. You mentioned holistic education. What do you consider the hallmarks of a whole child education?
Yes. Holistic education is, for me, far beyond the mind, the cognitive. It also means the affective. It also means the whole issue of emotional intelligence. It also means the spirituality. It also means the physical development. It also means the ethical development. We need, you know, you find that the person who leaves a legacy is a person that is a well-rounded human being. He spiritually uplifted. He himself is an individual who is caring. He himself is a deep thinker. So it requires all of those aspects. In the end, the simple bottom line is that you could ask yourself, what is it that Allah is looking for in us? What is it in terms of our relationship with people? What is it in terms of our thoughts? What is it in terms of us motivating and leaving a legacy? So many people have different models of it, right? But there are a few fundamental things that our education is skewed towards the mind. And one of the ironies is this, the 7% of what students earn in the exit examination is gotten 3 months after that. Many kids come to school with emotional deprivation, and we need to nurture that, help them to deal with feelings. It is feelings and values that will impact on them.
Jazakallah, thank you very much, Idris. I once read an article about the Japanese education system where the early years, formative years of education, deal exactly only with relationships, manners, mannerisms, and those things. The actual knowledge, mathematics and writing comes a little bit later in
mathematics and writing comes a little bit later in the
are based on establishing those very important skills.
There's a question here.
How would you train, invest in your teachers so you know they can become agents of change?
How will you know eventually that the teacher on your staff is an agent of change?
I think you need to conduct numerous workshops. Not only you conducting the workshops, even getting dynamic teachers to do that. And what we need to do is, there are so many stories around people, teachers themselves and graduates who say, I like that teacher. That teacher, you know, I came to school because of him. He made a difference. And you ask him, how? Why didn't you speak to the others about it? We need to share those stories, because what happens is this, that you see many educators, you know, because of the low self-esteem, because of the negativity, they feel they are hitting their head against the wall. And remember this, you know, we've got to do self-appraisal. We need to reflect on what we are doing. And when you show the stories of delinquent kids who transform not only their life at school, but much later, you see a difference. And I'll share with you two stories, right? I remember when I started the Muslim school years ago. And I remember there were two students school, and they were somewhat naughty. And I had the habit of visiting them at home. There was an incident that took place, and I went to the home. I met the father, both the parents, and they were shattered. They became quite emotional, but I kept them at school. And you will not believe it. Years later, one of them is a trustee of a mosque, Mutawalli, and they're doing what is right. The other, I met him many years back. I went to his home, and asked him, you know, how are you? He says, you know, alhamdulillah, Allah has been very merciful. I'm doing very well. And every year, I send two couples for Hajj. Now, if I were to share that to the teachers, they would not believe it. Because we mustn't assume, people, the school is only part of their life. It's the beginning of the journey. You cannot be punitive at the beginning of the journey. Get to understand them. No child is incorrigible. No child comes with evil in his heart. No child comes there to disrupt things. You know what? As I was speaking to Sheikh Yahya, you know, he was telling me, many people say, they are seeking, a way out, whatever. You know what kids are doing? Really, they're seeking connection. It's about you connecting with the hearts, spending time, even calling that belligerent, bellicose learner to the office. Say, come, you and I have tea together. And I remember this incident. I remember this one incident when my first group of matric students were leaving. So I was getting so emotional. I was so attached to them, you know, and I wondered whether we did enough to help them navigate the turbulent waters of this world, whether the Islam that we're developing would be strong enough to be like an antidote. And I remember I called the boys to the mosque and I asked them, tell me, you know, you've been here for a few years. What did you learn from me? The first group were massaging my ego and I was feeling very good about it, saying, you know, I remember this. I came to the office, I cried on your shoulder, ta 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 ta. Then two boys, one of them said, I learned nothing from you. My friend, what he bruised my ego. But I'm glad I asked him that question. And he said, I'm not blaming you. I'm blaming my home. Because nothing you tell us has relevance in my home. So what I did, I went home. I went to his place that day or the other day, next day. I went there. So the mother jokingly told me, you came to spy on us. She was right in a way, right? So anyway, but what happened? On that Monday, I told him, and I told another student of mine, I said, come, you and I have coffee in town. The same boy that I asked on that day, would you ever help an old man to cross the road? He says, no, I'll never help an old man. He spent 12 years at the school and he's got no compassion. How do we teach the Islam of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? But look what happened. I parked the car. Not far from me, there was an old man on a wheelchair. He said, excuse me, Mudir. He helped that old man to cross the road and I teared. What happened? He just felt a kingship. He felt this. And that's important. If they can trust you, if they believe in you, you share with them profound insights about the world, you care for them, you connect with their families, and you love them, I promise you, these children, inshallah, will become eloquent ambassadors for the deen of Islam.
JazakAllah, thank you very much, Idris. As always, you speak straight from the heart. These individual personal anecdotes are so moving. Any other questions on this list that we haven't had the opportunity to get to?
Other questions on this list.
We've already come to the end of our time.
Opportunity to get to. Let me take this opportunity to thank you, Idris, for posting those questions in the last month.
Challenging us in the WhatsApp group. And also for your time to be here this afternoon. For many of you who don't know, Idris this morning flew from Durban to Johannesburg, did some work in Johannesburg, flew back to Durban, drove straight from the airport to his house. He had a power outage, drove to my house, to make sure he could honor this engagement with us. We really appreciate it, Idris.
Allah bless you, an inspiration to us.
You engender in us the value of the profession of the prophets. And inspire us to be great teachers, inshallah.
I want to add something here. I want to remind all of you, my beloved. You are my beloved brothers and my sisters. I want to make a dua that this Ramadan is inspiring for all of you. To remember our parents. But I want to say something, and I want you to repeat after me. I want all of you to repeat. I want you to unmute yourself and repeat after me. If I do not change
in the next 48
hours, it's unlikely I'm going to change. So you repeat it three times. This presentation will come to nothing if we do not confront you. And please, it's not to say I cannot learn from you. I'm eager to learn from you. I'm a parasite. I want to learn from you. So I want to wish you well. Inshallah, may you be an inspiration to our learners. May you not only inspire our learners, but inspire humanity at large. Jazakumullah. Assalamu alaikum. Rahmatullahi. If you are around, I will assign the autograph. Don't worry.
Jazakumullah. Thank you very much, Idris. There's a question that's just been posted now. Someone wanting to know, how do they join the GAIS WhatsApp group? And if you can provide more details. Currently, the GAIS is a member of school associations. So if you belong to a particular association, you can make arrangements with them. They'll put you in touch with one of the executives. We'll send you an invite to join the WhatsApp group,
inshallah.
I want to take this opportunity on behalf of the Global Association of Islamic Schools to thank Idris and to thank all of you for accepting our invitation to be here today. I trust this has been a valuable learning experience. And inshallah, bless you all.
Inshallah, bless you all for taking the time to be here with us.
Make all the best for the rest of Ramadan.
Do remember us in your duas.
And we hope to see you next month.
Scholar series where we have Dr. Farah Ahmed will be our guest. And it will be the first Saturday of May, inshallah.
Jazakallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi
wa barakatuh. Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakallah khair, everyone. Thank you so much.
Assalamu alaikum.
Looking forward to possibly, inshallah, soon having an opportunity.